Jai Dev.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm so good.
Glad you're here. I've got a feeling this is going to be an awesome conversation. In 30 seconds or less, why should someone give this episode their fullest attention all the way till the end?
Well, I think it's going to be fun. And I think it'll be some, I don't know what we'll talk about, but I'm pretty sure it'll give some inspiration. I feel like I'm going to be inspired. And I feel like if I'm inspired, then that transmits. And talking to you, you know, staying connected to what our life is really all about. And sometimes that takes conversation, that takes like unpacking things, that takes a little more time. And that's why I like doing these.
I love that. I love that. How did your journey in, I know that you focus on yoga, Ayurveda. I definitely want to get into Ayurveda for sure.
Yeah.
Because I think this will be the first time we ever discuss it on this show.
Agreed.
And I find some incredible healing and magic in it. How did your journey begin?
Well, my journey began in a couple important ways. The first, as a teenager, I got sick. I had some health challenges. And it was, I think now that I look back in retrospect, I grew up in the Southeast United States, South Carolina.
Okay.
And I currently live in Northern California, where my journey took me, but that's where I grew up. That's where I'm from. And I think looking back at it, the two things I'm talking about was one, health challenges, and one was really like search for identity. Who am I? What is this? And now that I can look at it in retrospect, those things were definitely tied together. And so I had some digestive things going on that I just could not, nobody could really figure out what was going on. So that sent me to looking for more alternative ways to try to heal myself. That eventually sent me into yoga practice. Yoga practice led me to the healing side of yoga, which in India is called Ayurveda, the healing science of yoga. And it just kind of like took my life in such a beautiful direction. And that's what I find it's really about. It is this kind of blossoming of our real identity of like, who are we? What is this? What is this whole thing about? And I always kind of had that question. It always really bothered me, you know, as a young person. Even I can remember like shooting hoops in my driveway, just like kind of in my own imagination world, like we do when we're kids and we're playing sports. And then I would just like have just spontaneously the thought that I'm going to pass away one day. And actually, first I would think about like, oh, my parents are going to. Just as a young kid, I suppose this does happen to, I don't know if it happens to most of us, it happened to me, my stomach would drop.
Mm.
And now looking back, it's like those were some sort of like, almost like intelligence, like waves of intelligence that was causing me to pay attention, you know, to what is actually real, what is actually important. And now that you hear that now, or I hear that now from the Buddha talking about paying attention to the impermanent nature of things, which at first feels scary to think about, oh, my body's not going to last forever. If we get a little older, you start to actually see it happening. And it's not comfortable always. But actually, to pay attention to the impermanent nature of things gives a person happiness. Gives a person actually blissfulness if they go far enough with it. So these things that on the surface can seem really scary actually can also be gateways into like the best things. So yeah, I got started with a health challenge. And
at what age did that?
That was like, I was like 16.
Oh, so young.
Yeah, pretty young. And then I left South Carolina I've always been a music person. I love music. And still to this day, what we do in Life Force Academy is very musically oriented. And I was going to study recording, production in the recording industry near Nashville, Tennessee. And I just kind of got, you know, ended up in this Kundalini yoga class. And in that time in like Tennessee, South Carolina, there's no yoga studios around really. And certainly not for Kundalini yoga. And I didn't even know what yoga, I knew that yoga had something to do with stretching, and I knew it had some kind of spirituality involved. Mm-hmm. And I was already definitely on the spiritual search. I grew up in a Jewish family. I did the whole, you know, I was bar mitzvahed and everything. But then I was trying to figure it out for myself.
Yeah.
And because I grew up in the Bible Belt, and I was the only, me and my siblings were the only Jewish kids in a high school of like 2,500 people.
Wow.
You know, so I already had a little bit of an outlier archetype to my life. You know, I always felt a little different. And now I, you know, from the exterior, I think appear quite different, but I don't feel different at all, you know. And so I was searching, and I, even at that time as a teenager, I had found like books by like Dalai Lama and Ram Dass. You know, I'd like come across Be Here Now. Eventually I found Autobiography of a Yogi. These great, great, wonderful books that changed my life, you know, books. And then I ended up in this yoga class, and I felt like I was floating for like a week after, you know, on a, just like walking around campus. I just felt light and great in my body. And so it grabbed me, and I wasn't able to focus on school so much after that, in that context. And then I moved back to South Carolina. I went into religious studies. I thought, well, maybe that'll be what I'm more interested in now, because I had had this kind of like spiritual lightning bolt, you know, hit my life. And I couldn't focus on academic religious studies, although I had some good experiences there. So I was still on this healing journey, but doing much better. And I had really, through yoga, I had heard about Ayurveda, and I had started reading books on it. And Ayurveda, Ayur is life, and Veda is like science. This really just means the science of life. Mm-hmm. And there, at that point in the U.S., there was two main schools where you could study Ayurveda. One was in Albuquerque, and one was in Northern California in Grass Valley, in the Sierra Nevada foothills. That's where I ended up. And I went to study out there, and just to make a long story short, I still live there. I thrived in that, studying that. Like, now I was like, I couldn't get enough, you know, I could not get enough. And that just, and I practiced clinically for a while, but what I really found that I've always loved is teaching. And even that first yoga class that I took back in Tennessee, that teacher lived 3 hours away. He's like, after about a year or so, he's like, you know, I can't come up here that often. He's like, why don't you just, when you can, lead it. So I started at that 18-year-old leading the yoga classes on the campus of Middle Tennessee State. And immediately it just kind of worked, you know, just kind of worked. And I haven't stopped.
I want to talk to you about yoga. I think that there are so many people that are listening that have this perception of yoga.
Yeah.
You know, and might have some fear attached to yoga.
Sure.
What am I going to wear?
Right.
You know, where am I going to find the class? You know, I feel like especially here in America, we have like, you know, we have... Tell me what you think, but we've taken yoga away from what it actually is, from how healing and how beautiful it is, and how much of a vehicle it can be to reconnect to your life, you know? So if someone is listening, why is it important for them to first, you know, practice yoga? And secondly, how can yoga be used as a vehicle into higher consciousness, healing, spiritual awakening? Like, why yoga?
Yeah, it's kind of all that. And why, I can say why for me,
okay,
in particular, because what, and like you said, yoga is in India, in where it comes from, is, you know, that's a big word, and there's a lot that falls under its umbrella. So how we think of yoga in the Western or modern world, we think, you know, physical practice, and have some idea of that, like I did, like it was some stretching, it's somehow spiritual. That's all I knew. I remember being in my dorm room the night before, like seeing if I could touch my toes. I couldn't even touch my knees, you know, and I was really nervous about going. Yeah. And I think like most people are the first time. And then what I found out is like, none of that matters. None of that matters, because it just meets you where you're at.
What does that mean? This is very important.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. What does which part mean?
It meets you where you're at.
Yes. Well, it meets you where you're at, because what yoga is about is really just kind of blossoming into your own nature. And whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, all of that yoga is concerned with. It particularly, when we think of it more physically, it's really more about the mind. It really is. And it's about transformation of our mental tendencies that cause us the patterns that we all have, emotional patterns, mental patterns, that are causing us to kind of be a little miserable.
Hmm.
And the cool thing is, the hard part is noticing those things and being real about them, that they actually, I do have patterns that are causing me misery, they're causing others suffering at least.
Because we're unaware.
Yeah, exactly. It's mostly subconscious.
That's right. It becomes so much a part of the way that we live.
Yeah.
We are unaware that there is even another way to live.
Yes. Yeah.
And we think that it is us, when in actuality it's a part of us. It's a, call it unhealed part of us. It's a part of us that we have not addressed yet.
Mm.
And yoga is one of the vehicles that we can use to address it.
Yeah. Not only address it, but transform it. Mm-hmm. Right? So for instance, say I'm kind of perpetually anxious. A lot of us are. How can you not be living on the planet Earth in 2024? There's a lot to worry about. And however, to be dominated by anxiousness, even if it's kind of just maybe it's not, you couldn't, most of us wouldn't go to get that diagnosed as like anxiety disorder, but we have like underlying worry, underlying anxiousness. Yoga practice, when done well and done with a little bit of consistency, that same thing that was causing a person anxiousness can give a person like a tremendous vitality. The same thing that is causing us to be stuck in a depression, like a more heavy type of state, that same energy, when it's transformed, can produce a deep vitality. So not only are they a part of us, it's really a circulation of energy that then stimulates the mental and emotional body. When that can express itself in a more desirable form, the same thing that we thought was like, oh, we're so bad. You know, we get self-loathing, and sometimes when we expose ourselves to, I am such a this, or I am such a that, and we feel lousy about ourselves, that same thing can be something that makes you feel incredible about yourself, because it taps you into really the more substantive energy of who you really are and what this really is. And that fills you up with a sense of purpose.
I love that you said that, because in my journey and in the people that we work with, so often that thing call it, for lack of better words, that negative side of them, when they go into it,
yeah,
like there's light on the other side of that. Yeah. And in many ways, I have found that there is normally a gift,
mm-hmm.
a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
It normally is the doorway to discover who it is that you really are and what your purpose potentially could be,
yes.
what your gifting is, what your offer to the world is.
Absolutely.
And so many people that suffer from anxiety or mm-hmm. suffer from fear or suffer from depression or whatever, my message to you is that on the other side of that,
uh-huh.
could potentially be your gifting to the world.
Mm, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was for me. And I always had the, it's hard. Teenage years can be hard no matter what. But then if you're sick, and then that creates insecurities. That, what seemed to be like such a curse, at the time, became the best blessing that ever happened. And I think a lot of us have that experience.
100%. 100%.
And what it does do is, sometimes I know we think of purpose, especially in the modern world, we think in a kind of almost a career orientation. But I don't think purpose starts there, obviously. Purpose is a purposefulness, meaningfulness is something we feel, something that is alive inside of us that extends to every single part of our life, whether it's our relationship with our kids, or in our love relationships or family relationships and work relationships. So when I think purpose, it's something that starts inside and connects to every facet of life, including career, but certainly not limited to it.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. In many ways, purpose is what we are.
Yes. Yeah. There's not, and always have been. That's right. The insight that you see when you get to the other side, that all along the way it was purpose. Mm. All along the way, there was some perfection. While life is happening, it seems like at the time, it seems like just kind of unconnected, random events happening. But you get a little older, especially if you're following a path with some sense of, and I don't mean following a path like religious, I mean just following the natural path of one's life and having some awareness around it and being an active participant in opening it up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what yoga practice. And so many, when I say yoga practice too, when I say it, I think any practice that someone is doing that helps them to transform themselves into more of who they really are, that's called yoga.
That is yoga.
That's yoga. And then you have this rich tradition from India and so many schools of yoga, and some of them don't involve anything that has to do with exercises. But in the West, mostly we use that because we need it largely. We need something physical. Something that just like gets me in my body, something that doesn't rely on my intellect, that can bypass all my emotional turbulence and just use my breath, take an inhale, put the body like this, put the arm like this. It's like, push that in, push that lever in, push that lever up. There was a short in the system. And then now everything's connected and firing. Maybe there was a short or there was some sort of wires not connecting somehow. Now you get that life force flowing. Everything feels connected. You don't have to go find a purpose.
Yeah.
There's nowhere that purpose is not.
That's right. Yes. I hope you guys grab that.
Yeah.
I hope you guys grab that, because so many people, they message and they email us and it's like, you know, what's my purpose?
Exactly. Yeah.
What's my purpose? You know, and in truthfulness, we have an event, you know, called Discover.
Uh-huh.
And we use that as a word, like discover your purpose,
yes.
Right? And people are like, oh, I'm finally going to know what to do.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Your purpose is not in what you do. Your purpose is in what you are.
Right.
It's in what you are, right?
Yeah. But you don't want to tell them too much of that.
No, because
there.
They don't understand. Yeah. Right.
Then,
absolutely.
Then they won't come.
Exactly.
You miss all the goodness.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Awaken your truest potential. Heal any limitations within and transform your life forever. That's right. In the upcoming weeks, Awaken is going to be coming to New York, London, Miami, and Palm Springs. I'm going to show you how to break your limiting beliefs, attract your dream partner, and show you to get everything you deserve in life. This is my flagship event that has helped thousands of people on their healing journey. And now it's time to begin or continue going deeper into yours. If this resonates with you, head on over to dannymorell.com/awaken now to get your tickets today. I want to dive into Ayurveda.
Let's.
I want to dive into Ayurveda because for a lot of people out there, they have no idea what it is. And for me and my journey, it's so much truth.
Mm.
You know, the food, the energies, mm-hmm. you know, if you're a pitta, a mm-hmm. vata, it's, you know, let's start with the basics.
Yeah.
What is Ayurveda?
Well, the Ayurveda is a science of life, and that is what it means, Ayus and Veda. What it is a system. It can be thought of as a system of medicine and healing, but often when we say medicine and healing, we think about, you know, fixing something that's gone wrong, or I have some symptom that I'm trying to cure or some trying to alleviate. But that's really not the essence. Ayurveda is excellent at doing that, but that's not its starting point. Its starting point is understanding your own nature and your own body and your own and how your own mind operates, and because each one of us is totally unique in that respect. And yeah.
Can I say something?
Please.
There is immense medicine in that.
Mm-hmm.
because nowadays we have so many people on social media trying to get you to exercise the way they exercise,
yeah.
trying to get you to eat the way that they eat.
Right.
And there's so much confusion. Yeah. And I just find so much medicine in what you just said,
yeah.
is that we are all uniquely individual. So what works for us may not work for you, and what works for you may not work for me, but the journey in discovering
yeah.
that uniqueness and what foods,
mm-hmm.
you know, what energy mm-hmm. works for you.
Exercise,
mm-hmm. there's beauty in that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and so much wisdom in it. This Ayurveda is easily 5,000 years old, and you know, stands a test of time. It's just as relevant now, because it's just based on simple principles of nature. And you don't have to know biochemistry to understand it. Anyone can teach it. Well, my son's 18 now, but even when he was young, I could share with him basic principles of Ayurveda that are so practical. For instance, it's that we're all just made up of five elements. There's five elements in the system: earth, water, fire, air, and the fifth is space or ether. And so the muscles of the body, the tissue layers of the body, parts of the body that you can feel is earth element. Water element is that which brings moisture, that which is you have the fluids of in the eyes, you have the moisture in the mouth. So it's not just water as in H2O, but water element means that which gives moisture, that which causes flow. Fire is that which transforms and creates warmth. And so your digestive enzymes and the blood that is circulating, the heart that is pumping the blood and circulating it through the cardiovascular system to make sure if you don't have cold hands and feet. So fire is that which warms and that which transforms. You eat take a bite of an apple. That apple meets the fire at the digestive system, what they call the Jatha Agni in Ayurveda. Just means the fire in the belly, and that then literally transforms that apple into your body, what you are literally what you eat, mm-hmm. but you also are what you don't assimilate, and you are what you don't eliminate. So that's why Ayurveda puts so much emphasis on, first and foremost, above anything else, even more important than what you eat, is how well can you digest it. And so it puts emphasis first on making sure your digestion is solid. And when your digestion is solid, you can turn even difficult things into nutrients. So that's fire. Air is that which moves things, air elements. So right now my hands are moving as I'm talking. There's sound coming through. The tongue is moving. The brain somehow is sending signals through the nervous system, creating movement. That's all governed by air element. I take a breath in, feel my lungs up, but take a breath out, air element. And then space. So earth, water, fire, air moving through channels of space. I have the channel of my digestive system, begins at the mouth, goes all the way down. You have the channels of your cardiovascular system. You have the channels of the nervous system, so to speak. So the body is a whole bunch of channels in space. So that's how you start to understand in a very simple way, how the body works. Now, here's where we all become unique. Certain people are born with more predominance of, say, like earth and water, and they have less fire and less air and ether. Those people they call kapha-type body types.
How do you spell that?
K-A-P-H-A.
K-A-P-H-A.
If you think of earth and water together, it's like makes mud. So kapha is like more heavier. So this is people who are stockier. They have shorter bones, but thicker bones usually. They have more of a rounded features, round face, wider nose bridge, thicker skin, bigger lips. Then you have on the opposite side, if there's a predominance of air and ether in the constitution, this is the most kind of known and popular part of Ayurveda. And people can go to our website and they can do a quiz and they can find out what their constitution is.
Okay.
And
do you have a website?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Well, can you share
it? Yeah, people can just type in lfa.yoga. That stands for Life Force Academy. lfa.yoga is the URL.
Okay.
And they can go to the website, they can take the Ayurveda quiz,
okay,
and so much more. So if the air and ether is predominant in the constitution, that's what they call a vata, V-A-T-A body type. And that's more of the features that will be thinner and longer, the opposite of the kapha person. So this is longer extremities, more kind of oval-shaped faces, more narrow nose bridge, thinner skin, you know, more sensitive nervous systems. So whereas the kapha person tends to be kind of steady and calm, but they can tend towards complacency and stagnation, the air and ether vata person tends to be more towards the worrying side of things, a little more on the anxious side of things.
Up here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cerebral, right. And very right. Nervous system active, air stimulating, circulating. But they also the ones who are quite light and uplifting and fun to be around. And so each of these things, they have their kind of what I think of like assets and their liabilities.
Okay.
In the middle, you have the fire person, and that's the pitta, P-I-T-T-A. And the fire person tends to have more moderate features, but there's usually an intensity to them. There's more like kind of angular features to the jaw, more intensity, usually deeper set eyes. Sometimes they'll actually have red hair or, you know, freckles on the skin. That's all pitta qualities. Now, the fact is most of us, we're all a combination of all of it.
I'm looking here because I'm trying to remember which one I was. But
Yeah. I believe you're a kapha pitta, kapha. Yeah.
Is that okay?
Just from looking at you.
Okay.
But we can dive deeper into that.
We can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but because we
I
have
pause?
A combination.
Could I
yeah,
pause
please,
you
please.
Guys, please listen to this. Please. Because you have no idea. Like, I noticed, Randy, you were already taking your notes because, like, you have no idea the magic that is in Ayurveda and how it could absolutely change your life.
Yeah.
And how you may be eating, right? Like, the world has told you to eat, but it could literally be the opposite of what you actually are.
Yeah.
And this is mind-blowing when you finally understand this.
Yeah. Well, what often tends to happen is... Well, we're all of our bodies are made up of earth, water, fire, air, and space, ether. And what the Constitution is saying is, I'm a kapha person, then it's saying in relation, in proportion to all the elements, there's a predominance of earth and water. Most people are not the stereotypical kapha or the stereotypical vata. Most people are like, I'm a pitta kapha. You have a primary and a secondary.
That's right.
And so if, for instance, you're a pitta person, more fiery person, that's the person who often, not always, but often is the first to grab the hot sauce. But they're also the ones that already their skin is a little red, their eyes are a little red. They're kind of, they keep on like blowing up at their wife. You know, the anger is like a little uncontrolled.
Okay.
And they keep going after the hot sauce. They're the one that kind of needs to more of the cilantro.
Mellow down on the hot
more
sauce.
More of the cilantro.
Right.
The cilantro cools the blood.
Ah.
You know, and when you already have over it. So the principle there is we kind of gravitate towards our tendency. So if I'm a kapha person, I already have a lot of earth and water. That's why I just like to chill.
Chill.
Yeah. Whereas it would be most important for me is to get up earlier and work out because your metabolism is going to be a little slower than the vata person's. The vata person over there, the skinnier person, the one who tends to go more towards worry. But like in modern culture, for instance, the beauty, what a beautiful woman has been projected at by mass media is more of like a vata frame, but they want the kapha lips. You know what I mean? And so when you learn your body type, you learn what your natural beauty is.
That's right.
The beautiful kapha person, the beautiful vata person, the beautiful pitta person, you appreciate how you are.
That's right.
And you learn both what your strengths are and your potential weaknesses. So my potential weakness as a vata person is I can tend to over worry. I can become overwhelmed. The colder emotions, fear, worry, overwhelm.
So if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you'll know that I'm a strong believer and advocate for plant medicine and its ability to awaken and heal the mind, body, and soul. It's a belief that is deeply rooted in my own personal experience with both ayahuasca and psilocybin mushrooms. And many of you for years have always asked me, you know, Danny, where do I go? Who can I trust? And there is only one place I would ever recommend or put my name behind, and that is Reunion. Reunion is a place where you could set yourself free from whatever is holding you back from living the life of your dreams. It's a beachfront, beautiful property that is in Costa Rica. And what I love about it is that it's not for profit. And this is the only thing that they focus on is the preservation and the safe utilization of these beautiful, wonderful medicines. And I only feel comfortable putting my name behind it because I am personal friends and have journeyed with some of the members of the facilitating team. Guys, I'm honored to have aligned myself with them to create the Higher Self Scholarship Fund. It's a fund whose purpose is in helping people who don't have the means to experience these medicines and yet have the desire to. And every time one of you books a retreat with Reunion, $100 from every booking is going to go into this fund, and we will be sharing this money with people on a monthly and bi-monthly basis. So help me help others by using the code DANNYREUNION when you go to register to experience your own life transformational journey. To find out more, go to reunionexperience.org and get ready. So could we use me as an example?
Let's.
Right? Yeah. So when I turned to Ayurveda, one of my predominant health issues is sleep.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And last night I had wonderful sleep.
Yeah.
But there are literally nights where I could lay there all night. I will not like fall asleep, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying not to overthink.
Yeah.
I know how to meditate,
yeah.
Right? I just feel myself like up here.
Yeah.
Where when I'm down here, yeah. I lay down, I get tired. It just happens naturally.
Yeah.
And then when I can't sleep, I overthink about not being able to sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
And so then I go 2 or 3 days overthinking about the fact that I can't sleep.
Right.
But last night I was like, fuck, man, I'm just tired. And it just happens.
Yeah, eventually, right?
So I go and I find out that I think my Vata is too high. Mm-hmm. And I have to reduce that.
Yes.
And the way that I reduce that is through like soupy foods, so forth and so on.
Yeah, heavier foods, warmer foods.
Can I say one more thing?
Keep going.
And it's also interesting because Jen gets on my case about this. Uh-huh. I'm the kind of guy, you know, I know how I want to live in my body. Mm-hmm. I want to be the strongest I possibly could be, the leanest I could possibly be, the fastest, the most flexible. Like my body and its ability, it's a very important thing for me.
Yeah.
So for a while, trip out on this. I know you're going to get a kick out of this. For a while, I followed this diet where I fasted for 23 hours.
Okay.
I only ate within a 30-minute window.
Yeah.
And I happened to eat about an hour before I get to bed. I didn't sleep for a whole year.
I was going
to
say, that would set... That will send the Vata through the roof.
Through the roof.
Through the roof.
That's what happened.
And that's a very common thing, by the way, is because... And not to complicate it too much, but there's one thing we have is what's called our constitution, what Ayurveda calls prakriti. But then there's the kind of the state of what's going on the surface, and that's what they call vikriti. So sometimes it's called the state of imbalance. So you have your constitution, that's determined at conception, at the time of birth. And so if I'm a Pitta person, how I tend to go out of balance is in hot ways, fiery ways. I'm already a fiery person. The tendency is to be attracted to fiery things. You want to be more competitive. And you do need to find healthy outlets for your fire. You're not trying to turn it off, but you do need to find healthy outlets for it, because otherwise that fire is going to express itself somewhere, and often it might not be ideal. You know, that fire that you might want to use on the basketball court is coming out in marital dynamics, no bueno. And so at the same time, Ayurveda shows that you already know you're a fiery person. Your tendency is going to be going out of balance in fiery ways. So you have a lifestyle, and you have things and foods, types of foods that you eat. And it doesn't have to be major shifts to the diet. Often it's refinements. Refinements to the diet, small things that when done consistency over longer periods of time make a huge difference.
Okay, so all right, so let's use me as a case study.
Yeah, let's.
I want to lose a little body fat.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I feel, but I want to put on some muscle.
Yeah.
I want to stay mobile and flexible.
Yeah.
And what has worked for me in the past is eating only 1 to 2 meals a day.
Uh-huh.
When I eat one, I don't sleep.
Yeah.
When I eat two, I sleep a little bit yeah. better. When I eat some potatoes,
mm-hmm.
I normally sleep a little bit yeah. better. I guess for someone who is a, what do you think I am?
Yeah.
A pitta?
Well, what we're talking about right now is what we call Vikriti, which is kind of like the currently what's happening, the state of imbalance. And what I was going to, one just kind of nuance to throw on top of this that's completely relevant to this, is that why I was saying, all right, if you're a kapha person, you tend to go out of balance in a kapha way. If a pitta person, you tend to go out of balance in a pitta way. But vata is the king of all disease, because vata is motion and movement. And in this fast-paced, incredibly connected world that we live in, we are all suffering from vata imbalance.
Too much vata.
Too much vata. And in some cases, it's pronounced. So I don't know exactly your constitution, but what I do know about you just from meeting you today and even walking in, you have an incredible engine. You have a strong energy and you kind of have a magnetism. And I think, and it's often that type of engine, I'm familiar with it myself. It's so dynamic and it's purpose driven. You know, you have it for a reason. Mm-hmm. There's work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the softer parts of life, like going to sleep, that you have to, takes training, you know, and so to bring the vata down and also the pitta down, because part of it is drive, like the pitta part is I'm going to do this, like you're describing, I'm going to do this, I want to lose this much, I'm going to do this exercise. So it's all ambitious energy.
Wow. Just in me saying that is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's ambition.
It's not. Flow, it's not right. being.
And you're a master of ambition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just met you and I know that. And so that is your tendency and it's a superpower. But even the superpowers have their curses. And so like in one case, maybe it's I can't get to sleep. So then you create a protocol. You use that superpower of your ambition and you and then you put up, and this is what a like pitta energy can do, is then you can, all right, you can even schedule at this time, because I know I want to be asleep by around this time. You need it.
Right.
So we get older, I need it more. And so then you say, well, I'm going to do this herbal protocol. It'll start at this time. I'll take a dose at this time. And then 20 minutes later, I'll take another little dose. 20 minutes later, I'll take another dose. Not to do this forever. But
to give me back.
But to start to train your organism how to put itself to sleep. And you start to create more of that circadian rhythm. So at some point, and then you get up and boom, it's ambition time. But then at a certain point, this thing has to start to
wind down,
soften down, get into a feminine space.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Okay.
So that would be the idea. And so so here's a key piece for everyone that anyone can practice this.
Okay. Because
we all deal with vata. And the thing that is best for vata, even beyond any, so many foods you can use, so many herbs, but the thing that is totally free is rhythm of routine, more regularity of routine. And of course, you have to do it within context of your life and what your work schedule is. But so relative regularity of routine, putting rituals into place in your life, like a ritual could be taking, you know, taking the herbal medicine that you're going to take at this time and sitting down and doing some sort of like pranayama breathing that starts to kind of, not only is it going to mellow the nervous system and help you move towards sleep, it's going to make you kind of blissful, you know, and feel good. And then you're going to go to sleep like in this, like, so you can, you know, if like you're a highly ambitious person like yourself and like myself, then you can use it as a little trick, like make your ambition put to start to put that type of ritual in place that then sends the nervous system into a relaxed state, enjoy the sleep, wake up fresh the next day.
I love that.
But it'll take practice. You know, it's not just going to happen immediately.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So step number one, you got to find out what is your constitution.
That's a great first step.
Right. Yeah. And then step number two, you got to find out like, what is the part of you that because of the way you are, it could get you out of balance.
Yeah.
And then Ayurveda is the study of bringing you back into balance.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll have my team give you the links for that. They can put in this podcast. We have a free training on Ayurveda that I take them through kind of step by step.
Oh.
And then we have a whole course called the Complete Course of Ayurveda. And what's unique about it is it's designed for everyday people. It's not designed to be for a practitioner of Ayurveda. It's designed for everyday people that want to use it in their own lives and for their families.
I want this.
Yeah, it's yours. We'll send it to you.
Beautiful. Yeah. I want to shift for a second because you mentioned this. You mentioned the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for, you know, most of the Western world, when they see someone like you alluded to that might look different on the outside, you say, I don't feel different. I just, you know,
yeah,
the long beard, the thing turban, on the hair, yeah. Right, the turban, like yeah. For me, uh-huh. Because of my spiritual journey, I'm more drawn to you.
Yeah. Right.
Cause I'm like, oh, that dude, like he's free.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah. It's really interesting. You know, it just kind of happened, you know, as I was a young person, I already was, of course, a little bit towards the, what people would say, more of like a hippie type person, you know, growing up. I love the Grateful Dead. I love reggae music. You know, it's my world and always have and still do. You can still find me on Dead Tour. And, but then when I got exposed to, you know, these great traditions of, in my case, Northern India, and I had, you know, beautiful teachers, and I just fell in love with the yogic path. And it was no point where I decided, there wasn't one point where I was like, okay, I certainly wasn't looking for a religion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of trying to get away from all of that. And I don't think of myself at all in religious terms. Other people think of me that way because, you know, you gotta put people in some box. Category, you know? But I don't think of myself at all like that, you know. But I love having the long beard, and it's part of my path, you know, and it's part of what keeps me kind of feeling me, really. And so, I'm a mystic at heart, you know. I love that, and to me, mysticism is practical, real, simple way of life. It's being in the wonder of life and the mystery of it and being curious and not being so convinced of things. It's not being so, I know everything. I certainly don't. I don't know much at all. And what I do know kind of keeps pointing me to the fact that I don't know much at all. And I find that's a more joyful way of living because then you're curious about each other, you know, and I'm not, and I try not to be, and I think more and more I'm not so quick to put other people in boxes.
Yeah.
And I can get down with anyone, really. You know, I'm from South Carolina. I grew up in the most conservative part of this country. Now I live in Northern California in a very progressive town, and I love it there. But I feel like I can connect with any person.
Yeah.
You know.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. All right, so final thoughts. Someone's out there, they're listening to this, and something has resonated, whether it's a conversation on yoga, whether it's a conversation on Ayurveda. You know, if you were to speak to someone right now who has never tried anything,
mm-hmm.
right, where do they begin?
Well, yeah, we create our whole organization almost around that in a certain way. We created what is called Life Force Academy. And I would always send them right into a yoga experience first because it's physical. You don't really have to know anything. You're using your body. It's like a exercise meditation system that anyone can do right away. Like I said, it kind of meets you where you're at. We were talking earlier in a more of a kind of psychological sense, but also in a physical sense. it's not what most people think of when they think of yoga. Even the types of exercises we do are more aerobic. There's a lot of movement, people with high energy, people who like athletics, people that really don't find it easy to just kind of sit and be still. Kundalini yoga is amazing.
I love Kundalini
yoga. Yeah. And so that's what, you know, I've been doing my whole adult life and what we specialize in. And so we.
So you specialize in Kundalini.
Yeah, yeah, that's our main thing.
You guys, yeah. My thumbs up 100%. Yeah.
And I think we, you know, if I do say so myself, our experiences, and we specialize in the online experience too. And it's not like a Zoom room. We have this incredible team, so creative. The music is originally, I work with some of the greatest artists and musicians, and we put on a Kundalini yoga experience in Life Force Academy that transmits and is so inspiring and fun and welcoming. Like you were saying earlier, it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, all you really need is you can do it from your home. You know, every month we, every week I'm teaching, but every month we do free webcasts like on the full moon, and anyone can just jump into one of those, like an hour long experience as a first thing to try. Try one of our online webcasts.
Okay.
And just sit down, you know, create a little space for yourself. You can do it on the phone, but if you put it up on a screen with some speakers, now it's an experience. It's cinematic. It's beautiful. The music's off the charts. It's really great.
Awesome.
And it's anyone can do it. And it'll transport you into a meditative space for even people who don't even know what that is.
I'm in.
Yeah.
You're going to see me there. I'm
great.
In. I love that. I love it. Yeah, and where do they go again?
LFA.yoga. LFA.yoga. That's the URL. They just type that in their browser.
And that's the same place for them to go get their.
Yeah, that's our website for Life Force Academy. And then I can send you the links directly to the Ayurveda quiz and that if you want.
I love that. And then how do they find you on Instagram or
anything? Jai Dave. My name is Jai Dave. That's JAIDEV 108 is my handle on Instagram.
I love
it. Jai Dave 108.
Thank you for being here, man.
Thank you, my brother. Yeah,
you ain't going anywhere though, because I have a lot of questions to ask.
I'm here.
Beautiful. That's it for this week's episode of The Higher Self. I can't tell you enough, like, Ayurveda is wonderful. Even Google maybe Ayurvedic restaurant in your area, you'd be surprised. I was recently in San Antonio and found one that was delicious, absolutely delicious. And what I love is that you know that your care, your body, your well-being is the energy that is providing the food. So we'll see you next week on another episode of The Higher Self. Thanks for watching this week's episode of The Higher Self. If you heard something in this week's episode that caused you to think maybe, just maybe, there was a higher potential for your life, maybe there was a potential to earn and receive financial freedom, to attract the relationship of your dreams, or to improve your health, that's what we specialize in. We help wonderful human beings like yourself to unravel all of the limiting thoughts, feelings, and emotions that you've been living through so that you can finally tap into your life's truest potential. If you'd like to talk more about that, we invite you to join us on Instagram or Facebook and email us the word discover more. And when my team sees that, they will reach out to you, send you the details of how we could help you on your pathway to a life of abundance, fulfillment, and creating the absolute life of your dreams. Message us right now the words discover more now on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll see you soon.